just try to help folks try to see things a little differently when it comes to death and dying. It's not just black and white about you have a funeral. It's also talking about, you know, who actually has access to a good death. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Glam Reaper podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Muldowney, and on today's episode, I have the gorgeous Mandy, who has not one but two businesses in the death space. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this with her. And it's just to sum it all up, I guess we're going to talk death daily. So, Mandy, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me, you have, well, we'll start off with, I guess, the main business, right? Tell us how you got into that. I mean, it's such an incredible resource for people who, I think, even if you're in the funeral space or you're going through bereavement yourself, I think it's such a great resource. The website, it's just got so much on it. You know, I just saw recently there Ernest Becker, and you know, so there's just so much. And I feel like whether you're coming into this as a student coming into a funeral, or if you've been in this for decades or centuries, sometimes. I think you can learn something from what you do. But tell us, how did this all get started?
Yeah, of course. So I think the site you're talking about is talkdeath.com. So the ethos behind Talk Death and how it really started was actually because of the other company that I work in, which is called Keeper. And we started with Keeper just writing blogs, mostly, I would say, even like for marketing purposes, things like that. And that's when I started to really dive into the world of death care and the industry, which professionals don't like calling it that, but that's essentially what it is.
Yes.
And I became really fascinated by some of the subjects and what I was learning about. And it actually got to the point where folks started to recognize us more for our content and not even for our product. And so we were also doing video series, a web series where we were interviewing professionals in the space that we called #TalkDeath. And the idea was that members of the public, so it was a lot of like Twitter followers at the time, that would send us questions that they would want answered by these individuals. And we would do these video interviews with folk. And those are awesome. And I wish we could keep doing them. My capacity's definitely reduced recently. And so eventually we said, you know, there's a very large audience for what we're talking about, people are really interested. And so we allowed it to branch off and give it its own name, Talk Death. And that's where we kind of separated it from Keeper. And, you know, our first article we wrote was in beginning of 2014. So it's 10 years now.
It's crazy. And it's, I mean, you have thousands and thousands of followers. And it's, I mean, it's interesting that you say that about it, you know, that it became more about the content and less about the product, because that's almost like marketing doing so well, like it's outdone itself, but it's not doing it in the primary sort of goal, I guess. Have you, as a result of that, have you kind of developed new products or services kind of from what it ended up becoming, or and also, I mean, I'm totally hearing you on the capacity, because I know myself it can be a lot trying to do all things to everyone and sort of give fans, quote unquote, what they want, but also survive. You know, it is a business. It is an industry.
I mean, to be honest, TalkDeath doesn't really drive any revenue. Like, luckily it's supported by Keeper, but we do sell merch. We, for a while, started dabbling in the idea of doing sponsored posts where a company, an organization would pay us to write content and then publish it, and it would be sort of advertorial, but not really. And it's still maybe a market we may decide to reach for. But as soon as money is behind something, it takes away from the authenticity and from the bias or lack of in content. And I think that that's where folks really appreciate the work that we do, is we are folks in the community writing it for folks in the community. And we've luckily been able to work with really wonderful guest writers from really all over the world. We did a series at the end of last year where we brought in, we hired writers from India and the Philippines and Korea and like really everywhere to just talk about certain practices that they do in their culture, death practices. And again, it wasn't to drive revenue. It was just for our own curiosity and to kind of advance this mission of education.
It's brilliant what you're doing, honestly. And I love that it comes from the heart, like it genuinely does. I mean, I've had one or two people suggest to monetize this podcast, like exactly as you've said. But I feel like, I think, you know, you and I in some ways are kindred spirits, because I just feel like the second something is monetized, and I can't stand when I listen to a podcast that first bit where it's like, and we're sponsored by blah, 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 and it's just like gobbledygook. And it's like when over here, when you hear about some medicine that they've released and then they tell you about all the side effects really fast. So like, yeah, I think unless you find something that really aligns with you, and I guess for you, that's your own company, which is Keeper Memorials, right? So tell us a little bit more about that. That's online memorials effectively, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Keeper Memorials is a company we started in 2013, so just before Talk Death. And the ethos behind it when we first started was, what if you could walk around a cemetery and learn about all the stories there? And this was always something that fascinated me. I've always been a tapophile. And it made us realize, I mean, I had a few losses that happened at the time and made me realize that Facebook and sort of our traditional, well, not traditional, but our current methods at the time of storing someone's photos and their legacy and really just being able to reach out to folks and share it was pretty limiting. And so we came up with a platform that allows families to just store all their loved ones' memories and photos and create events that they could organize through there and kind of just take it outside of that social media space. Because it really, you know, Facebook is really a space for the living. And I'm sure many of us today, because the amount of deceased Facebook users is extremely high, we've all had that experience, many of us, that someone close to us has passed away and their page is kind of frozen in time. And sometimes it's nice to go back to, but it's just like a strange world to be in. And I think also a lot of people don't trust Facebook with their information anymore, which is completely understandable. And so for us, we just wanted to create a safe space for families that's like dedicated to almost like the same idea of the pilgrimage of when you're going to a cemetery, that you're going there and you're taking that moment to remember and think about your person. And it's really about your community as well. So everyone has something, whether it's a memory or a photograph or a video, a story of someone that's passed away. When you're able to take all those different pieces and put it together in one nice, beautiful piece, we call it like the quilt effect. And it just creates this whole story and this whole picture. And just that process has been really helpful to families in the grieving process.
So just so I understand it, or the listeners understand it, so is it a memorial page and or live streaming of the actual event? Is it a little bit of everything? Or because I know there's so many similar products in the space that I'm always sort of trying to sort of differentiate, okay, who does what? Because you've got the launch of that app Chapter now is a new one. I don't know if you've heard of that, or am I even saying that right? I'm not sure. Chapter, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, we started out really as a baseline online memorial site. And when we first started, all the other sites out there were really kind of old school, like they kind of looked like they came out of the 90s, which a lot of them did. And so we were one of the first sort of like more modern pages. And so, yes, the idea is that families go to our site, they create a page. It's kind of like a mini website that's dedicated to their loved one. And they put photos, videos. We have a whole family tree and genealogy section, which a lot of folks don't have. And then only in 2020 or 2021, we started doing a separate service, which is connected to our online memorials, but it's more service driven, meaning that we do virtual funerals. And so we have a team of individuals, they're death doulas, they're celebrants, and they actually put together an online, or rather a virtual funeral for someone, a celebration of life memorial service. And they do it from A to Z. So they will help you fully plan it. What kind of words do you want said? Who would you like to speak? Who do you want to be there? We create the invitations and then we host it and we welcome people to it. So we're kind of like the master of services for that. And then we use the Keeper app to share the photos, to then share the live stream of it, to plan the event. We use the app for that as well. So that's just a kind of a separate service that we offer, but it's all under the Keeper umbrella.
Gotcha. So it's one page that a family can come along and sort of have the photos, the memories, the genealogy thing, which I think is very cool. And they can have the funeral or not. If they're having it in a physical space, they'd have it in the physical space, and maybe they put up a recording. Is that?
Yeah, a lot of folks will do that as well. And we also work directly with funeral homes and cemeteries. And so they use our solution as sort of like their opus that they plug into their website.
Mm-hmm.
And so some families still, most funeral homes in North America today will tend to give you some type of a basic page where you can just have more of like a death notice,
yeah,
where it's a very simple obituary and maybe a single photograph of the individual. And so families come to us because they want to take that a step further. They find that that doesn't really represent their loved one enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality today is that families are just so separated, and we're often living in different cities and different countries all the time. And we also, the younger you are now, you don't really have any physical photo books.
Mm-hmm.
And so our way of sharing memories with each other is with photos and videos. And instead of putting it in a group chat or on like WhatsApp or just like putting it on a shared drive, it's just a simpler way for families to be able to connect, essentially.
Yeah. And do you become a member of Keeper Memorial, or is it a one-time fee, and is there different levels, or how does that work?
Yeah. So we actually first started out doing everything totally for free, and we still have a free level. And that free level is still really what some families need. It has a certain amount of storage space, some of the basic features, you know, the tribute section where the community can leave their messages. And then we have something called Keeper Plus, and that's a one-time fee for a lifetime, and it stays up, page stays up forever. And you just have access to more storage and to more advanced features, essentially. And so you have to sign up to be able to create it, because that becomes like your login so that you can access it in the future. But what I like about ours, and you know, a lot of the things that we choose to do is just based on personal preferences.
Oh,
and I think most people hate that if you want to like leave a comment on like a blog or on something, you need to like sign up and create an account. And we're so sick of creating accounts.
Yes.
So we don't require you to create an account. We just we ask for your email for security purposes, and we don't like put you on mailing lists or anything. We just do it so that the family has your contact info, and we kind of make it pretty easy for folks.
Oh, that's good. And so that's Keeper Memorial. And so that started a year before. And I would imagine took off probably quite well during COVID.
Yeah, we definitely had quite a big boost during COVID. And that's also when we brought in our virtual funeral services. But families were relying a lot more on remote forms of communication and connection. And also because funeral homes were not able to do any kinds of services for a long time, depending on where you were in the world or in North America. And we saw that it really hit home, and especially for folks who have family that live in different countries. So we did a lot of cross-border services where we would have family, like we did like quite a few like Filipino families who like had a lot of family in the US and in Canada. And yeah, I think traditionally, because those families were so close, like they would have actually traveled back home for a loved one's funeral, and they just weren't able to. And so that was a big part of our goal, was try to bring people together when it kind of felt impossible. And I mean, it all actually started because my grandmother passed away like right at the beginning of COVID from COVID. And we are similar, like we're a family that we're all kind of in different cities in Canada and the US, and some of us are in Europe, and we tend to gather when someone close to us dies, and we couldn't do that. And I was like, you know, we had to do something. You know, she was the matriarch of the family, and we decided, my cousins and I, to like put something together. You know, someone was responsible for a slideshow, someone was responsible for a speech, and we did this on Zoom. And you know, our parents were kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess we'll do a Zoom meeting as a funeral.
Yeah.
And it was the first one I had ever been to, and I was hosting it, and it ended up being so beautiful. And my parents were like, they were just so taken aback by how meaningful it was and how lovely it was to like see everyone. And I think it changes the dynamic of funerals, because it's very much like everyone's facing one way, and then there's someone that walks up and says something. And so, you know, and it's like a very kind of it's also this weird like hierarchy. Like it's kind of like you're in a classroom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas when you're on Zoom, like everyone's seeing each other on their screen, and we have like an open forum where you can talk and you could just share. And it really fulfilled that need. I still think that gathering is very important. I don't think the whole world should go virtual. Being in community is very important when you experience a loss, but I think it really did still an important need during COVID.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think sort of on that, because that is kind of a question that's kind of, it's come up a lot, and one of the last guests I had on was the Be Ceremonial app, and Megan, I think it is, ceremony is so important, and COVID sort of obviously did take that from us. But at the same time, it did give us other things, I think, as well, and virtual funerals being one of them. Did you see a downturn of virtual funerals, what do you kind of think the future of that is going to be or looks like, I guess?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it sort of feels hard to predict. But what I do know for sure is that our numbers actually have they've steadily increased, actually. What I do see and what we are seeing is that there's more hybrid services. The definition of a hybrid is that both the parties online and the parties in person are able to interact. So that may look like you're in a traditional space like a funeral home, or we've done hotels, we've done parks, and like you have a screen where you can like see the folks who are online. And so it's, let's say one of the speakers is virtual, they, you know, their face comes up on the screen and they talk to people, and they give their portion of the service. And it's like a two-way reciprocal conversation, which is really cool. And something that is absolutely now for funeral homes and for generally most services is there's an expectation, and I think that this is the same for graduations and for many other pieces, which is live streaming, is that everyone is expecting now in many industries, but especially definitely in the funeral industry, that service is being live streamed. So I don't think that's going away. And I think that COVID definitely changed a bit of our habits when it comes to travel. Maybe despite people who travel for business, or actually even people that travel for business, I think that we're all reducing the amount that we are traveling. It doesn't seem like that when you go to the airport sometimes, but a lot of things could be a Zoom meeting and not always a one-on-one meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your aunt who lives like 3,000 miles passes away, you might not get on the train to go. You'll absolutely watch from home and still be there with your family. So we still see that as being what's going to continue to happen. And I think as more and more families are moving into different areas and they're moving further away, it's going to continue. And that's really what we're seeing as the trend. So I don't see it as being like every family doing this. And it's also not something I would encourage.
Yeah.
But I still think it's still a service that we're doing, and we're still doing, working with a lot of families. It's really interesting.
It's definitely something that I feel like was brought in, and I don't think is going away anytime soon. Like it's nearly why would you not live stream more so than, you know, would you consider it? Now, did you not find, because a lot of people have found, whether they were bringing something out, like a new technology or a new app or a new website or whatever, for you to do these live streams on, you know, host them on your website, at the other end of it, where there is an actual physical funeral, whether it's a body or the remains in some way, shape or form, and maybe one or two people, do you not need the tech on that side of it? And how did you find that, whether it's with families or with funeral homes? Because a lot of feedback the podcast is sort of that it's an antiquated business that needs, you know, a little bit more zhuzh in the tech arena. So
yeah, so on the funeral home side, there's quite a few companies now that exist, and they are live streaming companies. So they come into your funeral home generally, or they'll send you a package, but they will actually set up like a camera system, and it makes it really easy that you just have to like press a button and it records. And some of these companies have like these sort of like headquarters where their staff is always making sure that the live streams are working. And so there's like quite a few companies out there that are actually offering this as a service to funeral home providers, so that it's like really beautifully set up and it's really easy for them. When it comes to us, where we're working with individual families, and they could be, as mentioned, from a golf course to a hotel conference room, It's actually really straightforward. We have, you know, very lovely instructions, and we have a tech person that walks everyone through it. Generally, what we always request is that it's an individual who's not like a direct mourner, quote unquote, like a really good family friend or a cousin or an uncle who should be present during the service, but it's also not going to be awful if I'm texting them to make sure something's working properly.
Yeah.
So what we do is we do like a technical run through with them a few days before. Generally, we ask them to go to the place. They have to pick up, you know, a $20 tripod from Amazon. They just need a single smartphone. Depending on the space, we usually recommend a lapel microphone, which is another $40 on Amazon, which they can then technically return after the service if they want to, which we, you know, someone...
Don't tell Amazon
the savings, but, you know, it's the reality. And we kind of do everything. All they have to do is join the meeting on Zoom, and then we take over everything else.
Right.
And so as long as you have one person who's somewhat comfortable, which generally in families today, you have the grandchild, there's always someone, and they'll set that up. However, what we have found is that we have been receiving quite a few requests from families for us to be there in person.
Mm-hmm.
And some families think that that's part of our service, where we have like folks all over the world that can go and fly in and do that. And I would love for us to do that. And we've been looking at maybe partnering with like a media company that's more, you know, around a certain country. Because some people do really just want to hire a professional to do that. And so that's not, unfortunately, something that we're offering at this time, but I still see a need for it.
Yeah.
Certainly, though, we've managed quite well with our family.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's good to know for everybody out there who would maybe consider it, is you do need to have somebody who is somewhat in the know and hopefully doesn't work for Amazon and returning the things. I love that, though. That's hilarious, because I actually have worked with one or two families who did. They used something once with the entire thing and then returned it. I was like, oh, my God. And actually, one time I was returning something myself in a Whole Foods, and I was walking up with like my two little items, and I was waiting in line, and the women behind were like, sorry, just a second. And then eventually they just looked at me and were like, have you only got two? I said, yeah. And they said, they pulled me over. There was a guy beside me who had 80 items. Like, what? I mean, I hope.
Like your entire grocery haul in your fridge? You were talking?
So I actually said to the, I mean, he was right there, so I kind of couldn't ask too much. But I said, what? Why? How? What? And they just said, oh, girl, they were like, you've no idea. Like, you with your two things, you're a rarity. I was like, what are people doing? Are they just buying the whole of Amazon store and then returning everything? Like, is it a try and buy? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a business or if it's something else, but I mean, and honestly, hauling everything, even hauling the two, because usually it'll be something bulky that I have to haul back to Whole Foods to put in. But anyway, I digress for a minute. Sorry. But so back to, okay, so we've got Keeper Memorial, and then obviously Talk Death started sort of from that, but has become its own beast. So I guess what's the future? I think, you know, we kind of touched mostly on Keeper Memorial, but what's the future look for Talk Death? Like, do you see it going somewhere? Do you see, you know, what do you see? What do you see in the future, if you can predict?
Absolutely. So, you know, our team recently got together, and we've been kind of working on a bit more of like our mission statement and our goals. And we have a few key pillars. One of those key pillars is community. And so we have one event a year that we've done 3 years so far, maybe four. I think it's three. We've done our annual Halloween cemetery scavenger hunt.
Ooh. Mm.
That's been so rad. We do it. It's anyone in the world can participate, literally. And so we put out clues at a certain time. It's the Sunday before Halloween always. And you have to, we put it out at a certain time, and then you have to run around your local cemetery and try to find those clues. So that might be find someone who lived to be 100 years old. Find someone with like a funny epitaph on their headstone. Find an acorn symbol on a headstone. Yeah, it's awesome. And
thank you for taking that this year. I didn't know about that. You'll have to send me a press release around the time, and I'll get people in Ireland to do it. We get it worldwide. Let's go.
Yeah, it was really fun. So, I mean, we actually did it the first year was COVID, and we wanted to do, like, obviously, there are definitely a faction of us that are into death care that are also totally gothy and love. So we were like, you know, let's do something for Halloween. It's everyone's favorite holiday. And we wanted to do something that was COVID safe. So walking around a cemetery is like very COVID safe. So that's how it started. And that's just an example of like one of the events that we have done. And it's a way to bring in community. So how we involved the community last year with that event is we worked with different death collectives around North America. I think we had one in the UK. And we also partnered with different cemeteries. And so they would go to certain cemeteries in cities and they would host it there. So we would send them merch and people who are participating in those cities would go see them. You know, we'd give out merch, we'd give out candy, and that's their way of like meeting other folks within their neighborhood, within their city that are interested in the same thing. And so that's one way we're doing it. We actually just launched a book club, and our first book club meeting is actually at the end of March. And so we're starting a book club now where we're going to be gathering with folks to be reading different kind of books on death and dying. Our first book is called Rebellious Mourning. It's a series of essays, and it's really exciting. We actually, you know, spoke with our community and people voted on books as well. And so we're trying to definitely like engage our community more by actually doing events, whether they're in person or virtual. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we've been writing now for almost 10 years. We have hundreds of articles, but there's still so much that we have in our list of things to write about. And we still get pitches from writers all the time. And I didn't think, to be honest, that we would be able to sustain this long and continue to churn out content and talk about this. And there's still so much to talk about, and there's so much to learn. And so that is more related to our goal on education and advocacy. And so we want to continue writing and speaking about these things and also really raising awareness about issues and just try to help folks try to see things a little differently when it comes to death and dying. It's not just black and white about you have a funeral. It's also talking about, you know, who actually has access to a good death and what are the politics around a lot of this work that we're doing. And so we're trying to just bring different perspectives to folks.
That's great. I mean, yeah, what you're doing is admirable, and even more so the fact that, you know, you're doing it without monetary sort of reward, really, because as I said, the content is brilliant, and I think it works well, in my opinion, it works well for grievers, for people who are bereaved, no matter sort of where you are, whether you're next of kin or further out, or people who are just starting off in the business, who are curious about the business, or people who are in it for a long time. So I think there's content in there for everyone. And, you know, here at the Glam Reaper, we're a fan of supporting, or we're a fan of supporting women in general, but we're a fan of supporting anybody who's sort of communicating with the public. And it's not, you know, there's been sort of, I think the death talk influencers or whatever, you know, there is some disgruntlement about them because sometimes, you know, they're perceived to be not giving the correct information, et cetera, et cetera. But I think at the end of the day, what anybody in this space on social media is trying to do is just exactly as you keep saying, like having the community talk about it, like literally talk about death. Because here's the thing, without the likes of you, me and anybody else who talks about it in a public way, we were still bottling it up and just keeping it inside and not asking the questions, like stupid questions, like as in they're not stupid questions, but they feel like, oh my God, I can't ask that because that's a stupid question. And, you know, it's bringing all of this information to the fore, and whether it's accurate information or inaccurate information, or you think alkaline hydrolysis is flushing granny down the toilet, or you think it's the most beautiful next best thing, you know, for the environment. I just think all these conversations need to be had. And so I think with what you have, I think that brings that to the fore as well, because it's not, you know, you're not being paid to say, well, SCI is great or SCI is not good. SCI being a major corporate player in the funeral space, as most the listeners know, but it's just information that you're putting out there and different opinions and stuff. And it's great that you're getting it from all sorts of countries all over the world, you know, not just America, because it's, you know, not just one place. So that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're going to leave the links to all that we've discussed down below. And we'll, you know, all the links to your Instagram, your TikTok. And are you still on Twitter, actually? I'm not going to lie. I'm not really on Twitter anymore. I'm there in name.
So we've officially left Twitter a few months ago. There was just, we hit a wall with some of the content that we were seeing allowed posted. So we pulled the plug on Twitter. We have an account on Blue Sky. We haven't been active yet. So if anyone's on Blue Sky, follow us and we'll eventually start posting once we hit.
What's Blue Sky? Oh my God. So, and to the groove anymore.
It was founded by the ex-founders of Twitter.
Oh.
And it's basically the newfound Twitter, the more of the leftist Twitter, to be honest. You know,
got you. Oh, but isn't that what Threads is trying to be?
Threads is trying to be that, yeah.
I'm not, like, I have an account on Threads, I have an account on Twitter, but like that, once all that kicked off, I think I repost the odd thing, somebody else will, whatever. I'm just not, I'm on it in name. And Threads, I haven't explored because I ain't nobody got time for all these.
We dabble in it, you know, but we're not as active. Our main actives are Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And we could also be so much better at TikTok. Like, we have a younger social media manager now, and they're getting pretty good. It's just like, I think I'm just 5 years too old to be like super into like TikToking. It's just,
yeah.
I've never been that kind of
person. No, I mean, girl, same. I have a TikTok account, and I think I just recently posted. It's more my own personal one, you know, because anyway, it's like that. I'm just like, how do you even do this? And am I doing it right? Oh God, it's amazing how you get to that age where you're just like, yeah, I am my mom, I am my dad. My God, I never thought this day would happen. Oh God. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It was really a pleasure to hang out with you. And yeah, we'll leave all the links. And if anybody's got any questions, they can reach out to us or they can reach out to Mandy. And yeah, we'll make sure the questions get answered. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.